continuing our sermon series today called Dollars and Cents. And this is a three-week series where we're talking about one of your favorite subjects. Money. Now we got through that. Everybody give an applause. Come on. Ouch. So if you're here for the first time, you're probably thinking, great, here I am. I'm here to check out church. And what are they talking about? Of course, they're talking about money. I knew it. Well, you're not alone, because a lot of people have that feeling about the church. According to a recent survey, Americans in the United States, have their cynicism has gone up. And I think if you look at this season, the political season, you can see the cynicism rise here. People are critical about politicians. They don't trust them. They don't trust our economy. And they certainly, some people don't trust the church. And why is that? It's because the church does what? Asks for money all the time, is what they say, right? It's just the way it is. It reminds me of a mom that was in hysterics one night because her son Johnny swallowed a quarter. So she yells at her husband, call the doctors, quick, hurry up, dial the doctors, we need help. So he dials the phone, but instead of dialing the doctors, he calls the pastor. And she says, what are you doing? How come you're calling him? We need medical help. And he says, hey, listen, honey, our pastor can get money out of anybody. So hopefully, that's not so true about us around here. If you hang out here long enough, you notice that we don't talk about money very often. In fact, we have people that come into our church for weeks after week after week, and they say, I've never even heard you take up an offering. I don't even know how to give to the church. If you don't want to give to the church, you'll discover how to give to the church. We have baskets up here or just online or whatever. But it's not something that we want to make people feel guilty about or whatever. We just want to be presenting the opportunity to do that. When we do talk about money, it's usually to ask for people to give to something outside of ourselves, like to the Oaxaca trip or to Hope on Haven Hill or to Backpacks for Kids or something like that, and we are just gathering together to try to serve other people with our money. We have pretty modest facilities and a modest staff that we fund, and a lot of our money that we take in, and we're very open about this, you can find this out just by calling the office, a lot of the money that we take in goes right back out at our doors. In fact, over the last 5 years, we've given out nearly $1 million outside of our own doors to benevolence and outreach in the world. So if you're here today and you're feeling a little uncomfortable about me talking about money, that's okay. I understand that. My goal here today is to put you at ease and to let you know we're not going to try to pry money out of you, okay? Although we will be talking a little bit about generosity. But our goal is to discover what the Bible really has to say about money and then to apply it to our lives. Last week, Chris Clough talked about this. He introduced this subject and did a great job with it. Talked about priorities in our life. And he used the example of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount when he, in chapter 6 of Matthew, he started talking about what are your priorities. He said, these were some of the big ideas. Don't store up your treasures on earth. What does that mean? Don't store up your treasures on earth. Well, invest in things that make a difference. And invest in the heavenly things. We had a great discussion in our home group this past week about what that looks like. We can invest in ourselves and our self-worth, or we can invest in heavenly things, and what does that look like? And then he also said, where your treasure is, there is your heart. So whatever we value, that's where our heart is. So some of us, if we've got lots of stuff, maybe that's where our priority is and our value is. And then also, we learned that you can't serve both God and money. It's good to have both. It's good to have a lot of both. But you can't serve both God and money. You have to choose. You have to prioritize who you're going to serve. And that leads into this topic of what we're talking about this week, and this is this. It's the attitude. What is your attitude toward money? What is God's attitude toward money? I've seen a lot of different attitudes about money in my lifetime, and in the church, and especially like in the church, there are some attitudes that kind of snake their way in. The first one that I can see is this type of an attitude that is the prosperity gospel. Anybody hear about that? Can you raise your hand if you've ever heard that before? The prosperity gospel has some other names. It's called the health and wealth gospel, or the name it, claim it gospel, or the blab it, grab it gospel. It's this gospel that teaches that if God wants you to be rich, and if you're not rich, there's something wrong with your life. There's something wrong with a lot of people here, that isn't it? And usually, that type of a gospel has some preacher in a slick three-piece suit on television asking you to send a seed money of $1,000 to him, and then God will bless you. And if you're not blessed, then it's because of the sin in your life, or because you didn't give enough money. Can I tell you that? This is a false gospel. This is not the right attitude for money. Then there's the complete opposite attitude to that. It's called the poverty gospel. And some people believe that God wants you to be sick and poor all the time so that you always continually depend on him. That's a good thing to depend on God. It's a good thing to depend on him for our finances that way. But these people would say you need to sell everything that you have and give it away to the poor. After all, isn't that what Jesus said? Didn't he say it was harder for a rich man to go through, to get to heaven, than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? That's what he said. And then he also, when he was talking to the rich man who said, how can I get to heaven? He said, well, this is what you do. You obey the law and do good from your birth. And the guy says, I've done that. And he said, you're right, you know, you have. But this is what you need to do, pal. You need to go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. So is that the way that we should have the attitude? I think Jesus was talking specifically to this guy's priorities, the thing that we talked about last week, because this rich man's priorities, although he was rich, his priority was in the wrong place. It says that he walked off really sad because he couldn't do that. So it's not necessarily that we should sell all our possessions and give them away. A third attitude about money is this. It's this attitude, you know, I kind of like money, and I like when I have it, and I like what I can do with it when I have it, and I just wish I had a little bit more. I never have enough. Anybody relate to that here? I think some of us here. I saw a survey once, and I don't have the figures in front of me, but it was like this. It was like someone that makes $25,000 would say, if I only made $40,000 a year, I'd be happy. And then someone that made $50,000 would say, if I only made $80,000 a year, I'd be happy. And then someone that made $90,000 a year would say, if I only made $130,000, I'd be happy. And it went on and on and on and on. Listen to what the Bible has to say to this. And this is written by Solomon, who was the richest man of his day. He says this, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So, what good is wealth, except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? So perhaps wanting more and more money is not the right attitude to have either. And then I find this attitude, too, that money is evil, right? How many have heard this scripture, that money is the root of all evil? Have you ever heard that scripture? Actually, that's partially right, because the scripture says this. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered far from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So, I think it's intimated here that it's okay to have money, but when you love money, when your priority is on money, then it could be the root of all kinds of evil. And when you're pursuing that, you're leaning toward this way attitude that the Bible stands against. There were authors named James Patterson and Peter Kim who wrote a book called The Day America Told the Truth. And they revealed some shocking statistics about what people would do for money. Get this. 25% of them said that they would abandon their entire family if you gave them $10 million. 23% said they would become prostitutes if you gave them that money. 16% said they would give up their American citizenship. 16% said they would leave their spouses for $10 million. 10% said that they would let a murderer go free if they were on in a trial. They would let him go free with that $10 million. 7% said they would kill a stranger for $10 million. And 3% of people said they'd put up their kids for adoption. Now that 3%, I think it might go up right around bedtime, where the kids are really starting to act up. So, the prosperity gospel, the poverty gospel, hating money, loving money, just what's the right attitude toward money? Fortunately, the Bible has some things to say about that. And this morning, we're going to talk about a few practical ideas that God has to say that we should think about money. First thing I think is this, that it's all God's. We have to recognize that God created everything. He owns everything. Everything that you have comes from you, Him. And He's given it to you so that you can be a steward over it. Now, some of you might say, no, wait a minute. I've worked hard for my money. I've worked overtime. Sometimes I've worked two jobs. I've worked hard to be able to own this car or this house or whatever I have. You don't have any right to tell me that it's not mine, because it is. It's mine. Can I remind you that God gave that? God gave you the ability to work. God gave you the ability to buy those houses and those cars. God gave you the health to be able to work those jobs and work the overtime. God gave you everything. Deuteronomy 8:17-18 says this, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." It is all God's. Second point I think that we can look at is that even though it's all God's and He owns everything, He's really generous with it. He is. How often do we talk about how merciful God is, how He doesn't give us things, how He doesn't punish us for sin, or that He takes our sins away, and the things that He doesn't give us? But let's think this morning about what He does give us and how generous He is while He's giving that to us. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ." He's so generous, He meets all our needs. And it says, according to His riches and glory. How rich is God? Let me ask that. Huh? How rich is God? Do you think that if we go to Him and ask Him for some spare change, that He might give it to us? The psalmist said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed, with children, begging for bread." If we have this relationship with God, He meets all of our needs. And I think there are people all over this room that say an amen to that. You have seen God's provision in your life, even though you don't deserve it. It's just because He's so generous. Yeah, second thing I think that I see that here in that is that He gives us everything we need to live a godly life. In 2 Peter, it says, "By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life." He's got this storehouse full of stuff and attitudes and gifts that He wants to give us so that we can be able to live a godly life for Him. Patience, resisting temptation, and self-control, and kindness, and compassion, generosity, all of these things. If we ask for Him, those things, He is faithful to give it to us. He gives us things to live makes us a child of God. He's removed our chains of slavery, the Bible says, and he gives us the ability to become a child of God and his heir. Look what it says here in Romans. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. That just means Daddy. Now we call him Daddy. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. His heirs. Think about that thought there for a second. An heir receives the inheritance from his or her parents, right? And we just established how rich is God. In ancient Rome, an adoption would occur when a wealthy man, it had to be a wealthy man, would take a slave, set them free, and adopt them into their family business as one of his own. And during the ceremony, they would say, "You don't owe me anything at all anymore. That is gone. It's wiped out. It's taken away. And in place of that, I'm making you a direct beneficiary of everything I have." What a beautiful picture of what God does for us, right? He takes us out of the bondage of sin, the slavery of sin, and he says, "No more. You don't have to live that way anymore. Come, I'm making you my child. Come, I'm making you my heir, and everything I have is yours. I'm giving it to you." He makes us his child and his heir. And then finally, I think that our attitude should be the same as God's, because God is so generous, we should be generous, right? This is the attitude about money that God wants us to have. I think when we realize, first of all, that it's all God's to begin with, and that God is generous, then we can't help in our souls to pay that forward with our own generosity. God's blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others. And not just to hold on to our riches and our possessions for ourselves, which we have a tendency to do, don't we? And not just to give of our excess, you know, whatever we have left over, "Oh, here's a couple of pennies I'm going to give you." It's not that. But to be generous in all we do, to be generous in all we are, to be generous, not only to offer generosity, but to be generous. Because God is generous. In my life, I've known a lot of people that have had this attitude of generosity. Some of them have been pretty healthy. I'm thinking about one couple right now that does pretty well for themselves. They have nice houses and cars, etc., you know, vacations and everything like that. But they have this attitude of generosity down. They don't serve their money. God has blessed them and they recognize this. And they don't serve that money. They serve God. And they come often and ask, "God, what do you want us to do with this money? How can we further your kingdom with our money?" And then I've known some people that are really, really generous who really don't have a lot of money. And some of you people sitting here today, I won't look at you to embarrass you, but I know that you have these hearts that are just so giving and so generous. And you want to support everything. You give to the church. You give to the needy. You make food for people. You just have this generous heart. I think about how people like that, people like you and me, when we get together, the difference that we can make. Which one of you here, and maybe there are some people that could do this, but which one of you here could write a check for $25,000 and give it to a charity? I don't see any hands. But do you know that on our Christmas Eve offering, because of the generosity of many, that we raised $25,000 to give away? That's the power of generosity. It's the power of what God says, "Hey, listen, be part of this. Have my spirit. Give according to my riches to you." We had people probably giving $2 or $3 to that. We had people probably giving $1,000 to that. I don't know. I don't keep track of that type of money. But whatever it was, God was saying, be generous. Be generous that way. Winston Churchill said it this way. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Be generous. Have you ever noticed someone that was quite the opposite of that, that was really greedy? I have. I've known some of these people, and some of those people were rich people. They had a lot, and they wouldn't share anything. And some of those people were people that didn't have many needs, and they still had that attitude of self-centeredness and greed. They're usually people that are tight-fisted, even mean. Their hearts aren't opened up to people. They're not filled with love and compassion. And they think, it's my money. I get to do what I want to do with it. You know some of those people, don't you? I think they're missing the point when it comes to having the right attitude for money. Really, the question here is not about what we have, but it's about what we hold on to. The question isn't about whether or not you possess a lot of money. It's a question about, does that money possess you? It's not a question about so much about how much that we own, but how much we're giving away and willing to do so. And it's not a question about economics. It's really a question about the heart, as we discovered last week, where our priorities are. There are two different stories in the Bible that I think that apply to this. They talk about two different senses or attitudes about money. And the first one is this. It's found in Mark chapter 12. And it was Jesus. He was sitting, get this, he's sitting in church watching people come up and drop money into a box. And some people are coming up and they're making a big deal of it. And they're taking out their money and they're going like this. Hey, I'm dropping in some money. And they drop it in. And then this one little widow woman, an older woman, comes up. And Jesus sees her. She's got two pennies. She drops it into the offering without much fanfare or anything and walks off. Very humble. Jesus calls his buddies, it says. He calls his disciples together. And he says this to them. He says, this woman, I'm paraphrasing, this woman, she gets it. She gets it. It's not how much you have, but it's how much you give. She's got the right attitude about money. She doesn't have a lot, but she knows where it came from. And she knows that it's God, and she's giving it back to God. And because of that, she's going to be remembered forever. And here we are talking about her right now. Remember last week when we talked about that scripture passage that says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is? We see where her heart was. Then Jesus tells another story about this guy who had a completely different attitude towards money. He was actually approached by a family that was having to deal with this will, and they were fighting over who gets what. And Jesus says this. He says, I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. There was this man who owned a lot of stuff. He was a really successful man. And his barns were full of grain and food, and his cars had the best options on them, and he had barns for his cars, and he had the best of everything. And he's one day sitting there thinking to himself, gee, I've got more stuff coming in, what am I going to do with it? And he said, and the Bible says, this is so interesting, the Bible says, so he says to himself, self, you need to build bigger barns. And so he purposes in his heart and in his mind, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to begin to tear down these old barns and put up new ones so that I can store all my cars and store all my food and everything. And then it says that God came to him just then and he said, tonight, you are going to die. You are such a fool, he says. Your barn full of goods? Who gets it? And it says here, this is the Message translation. It says here, that's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. See, this guy, he thinks he's got it all together. He thinks he knows what the direction he's going in. He's got a lot of riches and possessions. And he doesn't have the right attitude because he's got this attitude of pride and selfishness, stinginess, And then what does it bring him in the end? It brings him nothing. I once heard it said that a funeral procession never has a U-Haul in it because you can't take it with you, right? His possessions possessed him and not the other way around. I can't help but think about when I talk about possessions possessing you, this guy, right? Remember Gollum? He was possessed by the thought and the desire to do what? To own what? The ring, right? The ring. And it wasn't only him. It was other people in this story that all they desired to do was to own it. And then what happened? My precious, it owned him. I had a film clip that was 8 seconds long where he says, "My precious." But Sue said, "Hey, you might scare some people with that." So I changed it up a little bit, okay? Here's the idea, guys, that I want to get across to you. Generosity brings freedom to you and to those around you. And greed brings you into captivity to the things you possess. This past week, I saw an amazing video that had a great illustration about what we're talking about. It was made in 1912, and it's called this. It's called Hunting Monkeys. And it's the story about how natives capture monkeys. What they do is they take this gourd and they empty it out, they put fruit in it, and then they tie it up, hang it on a tree, as you're seeing over here, and then the monkey comes to grab the fruit. And when they grab the fruit, they stick their hand in this empty gourd, and they find the fruit, they grab onto it, and what happens? Look at it. They can't get their hand out. And they just start going nuts and trying to get out, trying to retreat, trying to get away, and they cannot get away. So what happens? The natives come over, they grab the monkey, and they break the gourd, and they take them out. All he had to do was let go. That's all he had to do. And he would be free. Maybe some of us find ourselves trapped today. We're holding on too tightly to our wealth and our possessions and our money. And you find yourself saying, "Well, you know what? I would really like to be more generous, but I can't because I owe so much money." Or even right now, you're recognizing that you might not have the right attitude toward money because all you're about is grabbing it and holding on to it. Jesus is saying, that's not where it's at. Be generous even as I am generous. Can I offer some simple advice? We're going to ask the band to come back up. Some simple advice here. And this is steps to a right attitude. First thing is what we talk about. Is recognize that it's not yours. It's God's. I can remember, I've told this story before here, I think. I can remember that there was one time, I don't know, 15 years ago, I wanted to buy a new guitar, a Taylor guitar, a really nice, it's kind of a guitar like Eric has here, and it was a really nice one, and God gave me some opportunities to play and to speak and to do different things where I made some money. So I talked to Sue, I said, "Can I buy it?" She said, "Yeah," and it was expensive. And I bought it, and I remember getting that guitar and thinking, "My precious," right? Thinking how beautiful this is, and God spoke to my heart, and he says, "I gave you this." And I said, "You know what? You're right, God. I'm giving it back to you. So whatever, whoever wants to use it, whatever happens to it, it's not mine." And do you know, 2 weeks later, I let the youth group use it, and I saw it on a strap, let go of the strap, hit the ground on the way down. Brand new guitar. And it didn't do a thing for my spirit. It didn't attack me at all. I said, "Well, there's your guitar, God." And now if you see it, it's got dings and cracks and everything like that, but it has been used for hours and hours and hours of worshiping God. Recognize that it is all God's. Second thing is be content with what he's given you. Some of you have more than others, but whatever it is, Paul wrote about this. He said, "I have found that the secret to everything is to be content with what he's given you." So be content with it. Stop going into debt for all the stuff that you need. And just be content with what you have. Third thing is spend less than you make. Everybody go, duh. All right? That's just it. Because if we're spending less than we make, then we have money that we can be generous with, right? Fourth thing is to save for the future so that we don't have to be putting things on credit cards all the time, right? Save for the future. Fifth thing, talk with God about your finances. I wonder if we do this. We come to God and we say, help! Instead of saying, God, make me wise. Make me wise in how to deal with our finances. And then the other thing is talk with someone else about your finances. We already offered this up, managing our finances God's way. It's a 7-week study starting on March 17th on Tuesday. Fantastic way to be able to figure out what God is saying to you about your finances. And then finally, I think the last thing is what we've been talking about, is to have the attitude of generosity. Be generous. Just be generous. I think that some of us, let's go back to that Christmas Eve offering. Some of you gave perhaps sacrificially to that offering. Do you think about it today? Are you, like, a month and a half later, are you going, oh man, I shouldn't have given that money? No. You have it, you give it away, and it's God's. Be generous. 2 Corinthians 9, we're going to end with this, says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And that's speaking to you. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. That's why we don't have pressure around. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. You like that promise? I like that. You'll have plenty to share with others. There's God's generosity here again. It says God will generously provide all that you need. He's continually pouring it out on us. As we pray, I'm going to ask you just to take a moment and say, God, where are you talking to me in this whole thing? And maybe apply one or two of those steps in your life so that we can have the right attitude toward money. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that it's in you that we have our being, that we move, that we breathe, that you provide our life. Provide our resources, you provide our friends, our church, our family, our jobs, everything that we have and we are about, you provide. And we want to be able to say thank you for that. And then this morning, some of us want to take that out of our pocketbooks, out of our backpacks, out of our locked briefcases, and then just hand it back to you and say, it's yours, Lord. I give it back to you. What do you want to do with it? And you'll be faithful to show us. And you won't leave us high and dry, Lord God. We know that. You provide. You love us. You're generous. And we thank you so much. So as we continue this series and this thought about money and what you have to say about it, help us to